Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, as I said last week, we're going to switch sermon series. And it's been a while since we were in this series in Romans. Romans is always a blessed book of consideration of how we are to live. In fact, I'm sure you know that the Heidelberg Catechism is actually patterned after the outline of the book of Romans. So, just of note there, Romans chapter 6, we'll be looking at verse 15 and reading a few short verses to verse 23. Seems to have left my Bible here just a second. Romans 6, beginning reading at verse 15 and reading through verse 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As far as the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, we see that we of ourselves are slaves to sin. But as we have been looking at the book of Romans, the first few chapters of the book of Romans teach us about our sin and our iniquity and God's just judgment against it. We consider that to be, as reference it as, God's lawsuit written up against mankind. And God begins then in the middle of Romans to consider the salvation which God has given to us. That it is free, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That it is God's gift to us. And it is freely given. And so the question always comes, doesn't that make me not have to do anything? I can just believe I got it ready. I'm good to go. Shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is a great thing, right? Why not let God have more of it? I can sin and live however I want to. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? No way. Certainly not. In fact, the Greek there means, let it never be. We do not continue in sin because God's got grace sufficient for how bad I am. Then one more sin's not going to hurt, right? Now certainly we have to understand that we fight against sin and we fail. And we fail and we fail and we fail. And yet at that same time, we are always to be picked up by God's grace, remembering that God is a merciful God. And so we do not just walk into sin and say, well, I live here. And that's what David is talking about in Psalm 1. It does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of scornful. Instead, he makes God's law his meditation day and night. And brothers and sisters, We are called not to live like our sinful flesh desires. We're called not to live like the world around us. Shall we continue in sin? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And so, brothers and sisters, we've taught the sermon title this morning is Slaves to Righteousness. That's what we are as Christians. That's what God's Word again and again reminds us. We are slaves to righteousness. As we look at the passage this morning, the theme that we want to see this under is that believers present themselves as slaves of righteousness leading to eternal life. Believers present ourselves as slaves of righteousness leading to eternal life. In verses 15 and 16, we see that we are slaves to whom we present ourselves. In verses 17 through 19, we are slaves of righteousness. And in verses 20 through 23, we see that we are set free from death and given eternal life. Notice, once again, we do not earn salvation by our righteousness, by being slaves of righteousness. But as the Catechism so rightly says, it is impossible that those who by true faith are grafted into Christ should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. That we are not going to live like our own sinful desires and like the world. We live as slaves of Christ, slaves of righteousness. And so the free gift does not encourage the continuance in sin, but demands rather the crucifixion of man's corrupt nature and a life of holy service to God. So first of all, we are slaves to whom we present ourselves. Shall we continue in sin? No way. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2:16, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. We don't say, well, we are free, we're at liberty, therefore we can do whatever we want. That's our world's idea of what freedom is. And quite honestly, their idea of freedom really ends up being freedom to live in sin. As Christians, we're not to live that way. We're not free to live that way. We are at liberty. Liberty is a biblical word. It presumes bondage, previous bondage to sin. And we are set free from that. And yet, freedom is not the lack of rules. Freedom is to live as those who have a glorious set of rules, to live in thanksgiving and in praise to the great God who has saved us. We are not under law, but under grace, they might say. That doesn't change the righteousness of God's law. Paul here says, essentially, we dare not assume that we are saved if we continue living like the sinful world, according to the lust of the flesh. Now, when we talk about the lust of the flesh, certainly sexual things are involved, but we have to understand that anything, the desire to do anything against God's commandments, is a lust that's under consideration here. James writes in James 2:17 and 18, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, if you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith there is assumed. But if faith doesn't have works, he says, your faith is dead. It's actually, when we go on to exegete that passage, it is a demonic faith. The demons believe that there's a God, and they tremble. They're smarter than most people in our world today who know or think there's a God, but I'm okay with that. He's my buddy, homeboy. No, we need to have a righteous, understanding fear of crossing over God. And whom we present ourselves slaves, we are their slaves of sin leading to death. There are people, Peter goes on to say, just a couple of verses after what we just read, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is brought into bondage. There are people who tell you, yes, this is going to free you. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? How'd that work out for them? Not so very well, did it? When we are looking for freedom, we must look to what God says. The Ten Commandments are the most freeing thing that we can have as Christians. If I'm not lying, I don't have to try to remember what I lied about. If I'm not stealing, I don't have to worry about the people coming after me. If I'm not committing adultery, I don't have to worry about what that's going to do to my family and so many other things. And we go through all of the commandments, we can see that doing what God says is far better and is freeing rather than the opposite. Instead, we are to be in obedience leading to righteousness, verse 22 of our text. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. In the end, everlasting life. When we have a faith that is working, we can have confidence of eternal life by the fruits thereof, that we might be confident, that we might be have the confidence that we're going to heaven. And we are to present then ourselves as slaves of righteousness. Though you were slaves of sin, Paul says. We have to understand that. We are of ourselves slaves of sin. And we, when we do that which is natural, present ourselves as slaves of sin. It takes work. It takes effort as a Christian. That's this whole idea of sanctification. As Christians, we don't start out perfect as soon as we believe we're perfect. No. Now, we're justified in the sight of God. That is the judicial statement of God that in Christ, all of our sins are paid for. But all of our life long, we are going to have to struggle with sin. And so, though we were slaves of sin, we are of ourselves. And God works in us by His Holy Spirit, causing us always more and more to turn away from sin and always more and more to take delight in living in obedience. We read in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That we were of ourselves slaves of sin. And we need God's grace changing our hearts to turn from that. Though we were slaves of sin, obeying from the heart, we read in verse 18, the form of doctrine. Notice the progression here. That though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine. That while we are struggling with sin, you know, that doesn't necessarily sound terribly Calvinistic here. Sometimes the Bible doesn't speak in the technical language about our salvation, but as we feel it, and we struggle with sin, and yet we are called consciously to choose the right. And that is God's Holy Spirit working in us. That is not something we can do of ourselves. They didn't even feel saved. Yet they had begun to follow God's Bible and God's doctrine. And we need doctrine. We need to know what the Bible says. Even without a doctrine, people say, no doctrine but Jesus. Now they have some idea who Jesus was and is. Sadly, there's an awful lot of bad doctrine out there. Jesus said, Mark verse 7, verse 7, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When we don't know the Bible, we can be pulled aside any which direction. By the foolishness of man, by people saying, well, this is obviously what the science tells us, or different things which God warns us about in His Word. We need doctrine. This is what God's Word says. This is not just Grossman talking here. 2 Peter 1:13, "And hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Doctrine speaks not only to what we believe, but how do we live? You began to follow that form of doctrine we read here. We have God's Word, and we have men who have summarized it for us. Because it's impossible to memorize and to understand the whole Bible without something on which to hang it. That's the beauty of, say, the catechism. Where people have taken time to distill the teachings of the Bible so that they are easier to understand. That's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's a great, great blessing. And so we are set free from sin to be slaves of righteousness, of liberty. John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Sin is slavery. We cannot break from it ourselves. Remember back, Luther struggled with this. He knew that he was a sinner and that all the penance he could do wouldn't make him right before God. Sadly, so often that's what we do as Christians even. We fall back into a sin and then we come back to God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and we try to beat ourselves up about it. And we try to do better the next time, and then the next time we fail, and the next time we fail. And we say, "God, am I really a Christian?" Brothers and sisters, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. But the beauty, the wonder is that as we continue in the grace of God to fight against sin, He does give us victory over it. And we need to have wise ideas and perhaps helps, counseling from time to time to guide us how we can fight against sin. Because it's not easy. And we need help. We need our brothers and sisters helping us through these things. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." We must know this. Salvation is not by works that we could do, but by the grace of God, and we are set free to serve Christ without fear of the hell that we deserve. As we said, as free, Peter said, 1 Peter 2:16, "Yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." We went from the cloak for vice, living in sin, to the bondservants that God requires of us, slaves of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 22, "And now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, the end, everlasting life." 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." We need to discipline ourselves so that we would not be disqualified. We are set free from death. We have been given eternal life. That's what we see in verses 20 through 23. As slaves to sin, free from righteousness, is what he says. This is what we were. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." He says, "What fruit did you have then? What's your response in the things you're ashamed of?" When we live in sin, when we fall, we ought to be ashamed. And we look at ourselves and say, "How dirty am I?" And the response needs to be, "By the grace of God, I am seen as clean in the sight of God." And then God picks us up. And though I sin and though I fail, we have that declaration of God that we are seen as just in His sight. "What fruit did you have then?" Jeremiah 12:13, "They have sown wheat but reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain but not to profit. Do not but be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. It's not even just my shame. We need to realize the fierce anger of the Lord against our sins. And the end of sinful things is death. Solomon writes, Proverbs 14:12, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. If we're doing what seems good to us, we're going to end up in death. We had better check where we get our ideas from. Are they our own ideas? Are they from God and from God's Word? Our own ideas, mankind's ideas, lead to death and hell. That's what we just read in Proverbs 14, verse 12. God's ideas, God's Word, Christ leads us to salvation. And so we are called to live lives of obedience. We are slaves to God. Verse 18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now notice what Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of sin is heavy and it weighs us down, and when we carry it and when sometimes we put that back on, when we fight with sin and we say I've lost and I'm not going to be able to do it, and it weighs us down and we can barely carry it. But when we see the yoke that Jesus gives to us that we carry, it's not heavy. It is a yoke to bear, don't get me wrong. But it is not heavy. It does not drag us down. You know, if you ever seen, I used to like to watch the Biggest Loser from time to time, give me a little bit of motivation losing weight. But sometimes they put that weight back on them and say, look how heavy you were. Well, too often we're dragging that around because we say, well, I'm the sinner. I just sinned again. Look how evil I am. And certainly we have to confess that before God. But that confession, God washes us clean in Jesus Christ so that we don't have to carry that weight around all the time, that we are cleansed, that we are washed in the blood of Christ. And we're called then to live in thanksgiving and obedience to Him. Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28-30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God's commandments, our world says those are the worst, the terrible thing you could ever tell somebody to do. And Jesus says, those are easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Not just those, of course, but all that is and comes with what Jesus has done in saving us from sin and from the judgment that we deserve in sin. The free gift. The wages of sin is death. We need to confront that face on. I deserve that. But the gift of God. The gift of God. How awesome. How wonderful. That I, who deserve God's judgment, have been given eternal life. That we as Christians have been given eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, we're called to live as slaves of righteousness. I don't have a choice. I don't know if you remember back 1980s with President Reagan and the DARE program. Resist drugs and violence. There's no choice there. Do we go take drugs? That's not a choice. The same thing with sin. That's not a choice. Now we fail and we fall. But we're called back. We have been given eternal life, such as we can't even begin to imagine. We're not slaves of sin anymore. We're called to present ourselves as slaves of righteousness, living in obedience, living in service to God, in thanksgiving for what He has given us, what we are in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You for what You have given to us, that You have given to us eternal life. And we pray, Lord, that we might live lives of thanksgiving and of service, that we would not see sin as a choice, as, well, I can do that or not, but that we might see how horrible it truly is, that this is what You have saved us from, being slaves to sin, and that we might present ourselves slaves of righteousness and obedience in thanksgiving for what You have given to us in Christ Jesus of eternal life. And Lord, we confess that we fail and we fall again and again and again. And we thank You, Lord, for that confidence which we can have, that You have begun a good work in us and that You will bring it forward to the day of completion. We pray, O Lord, that we might truly present ourselves to You in thanksgiving and in honor to You for what You have given to us. We praise You, we thank You for the declaration in Jesus Christ that we are cleansed and that we might live lives of thanksgiving for that cleansing so freely given to us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.